Species.
Unite.
Species. Unite.
There's a fundamental mismatch between how we make plant-based meat and the facilities that are making it. When you're using the wrong tool, when you're trying to use a spoon to, you know, cut a piece of vegetable, it just doesn't work. It's the same kind of thing for making plant-based meat.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Novogratz. This is Species Unite. We have a favor to ask. If you like today's episode and you have a spare minute, could you please rate and review Species Unite on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts? It really helps people to find the show. This conversation is with Christy Legale. Christy is the founder and CEO at Rebellious Foods. Rebellious Foods is a food manufacturing technology and production company. They make delicious plant-based chicken, but they also make production equipment. And their latest version of their production equipment is launching later this year. It's called the Mach 2, and it's going to transform the entire plant-based meat space. The reason being is because the plant-based meat is typically made in animal meat production facilities, which just don't have the capability or function to make plant-based meat. And so 5 years ago, Christy left her job as an engineer at Boeing so she could come in and transform everything we know about plant-based meat. Hey, Christy, thank you for being here. It's really good to see you.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Let's talk a little bit about you.
Okay.
Because you're an aerospace engineer at Boeing. 4 or 5 years ago, you decide, no, instead I'm going to revolutionize the plant-based meat industry. Can you talk about how that happened and what was behind that?
Yeah, sure. So actually, it probably does seem like all of a sudden, but it really wasn't for me. For me, I had been an advocate, and I still consider myself an advocate for a very long time, really since I was, well, kind of a teenager and then kind of into my 20s. But it wasn't until I was about, 31 or 32, I would say, that I actually got into animal advocacy, which was ironic because I was a vegan. I already knew we shouldn't eat animals, but I really felt like that was when I really started to see the power of working in the political system, even more so than just the advocacy I had done for women's rights or environmental rights or voting rights. So I had the chance to work on and actually started with a friend of mine, a couple of political campaigns to ban the sale of dogs, cats, and rabbits in pet stores. And the cats and the rabbits were like super easy. Banning dogs in pet stores turned out to have like a little bit of an enemy attached to it. So, but after a few years, we were actually very successful. I lived in British Columbia at the time. We passed Canada's first ban on the sale of dogs in retail outlets, which we were very excited about. And shortly thereafter, I moved back to Washington State and, continued my career in the aerospace industry. I think I worked for about another 5 years as an aerospace engineer. And then I decided, oh my gosh, I really have to take this to another level with my advocacy. I felt like I was kind of doing two jobs. I was writing op-eds about animals. I was doing advocacy and things like that. But I was also doing my day job, which was as a mechanical engineer at Boeing Commercial Airplanes. And I loved both, but this was an opportunity to start a company that I really felt like could move the needle on industrial animal agriculture, where you could really help the most animals. Not that it isn't fantastic to help a small number of animals, but it's a great thing that we could find ways that can really move the needle to help a large number of animals. And there's nothing larger than the number of animals in industrial animal agriculture.
When you first decided and you're coming up with Rebellious, why chicken?
Essentially, chicken is the most consumed meat in the world. It used to actually be pork until 2019. And in 2019, China, which actually consumes the most pork, was decimated by swine flu. And it actually became, so many people turned to chicken, ironically, because chicken wasn't affected by swine flu. And so chicken became the largest consumed meat in the world. Right here in the United States, this year in 2023, we'll produce 108 billion pounds of animal-based meat, and roughly half of it will be chicken. So pork is about 25%, beef is about 25% by weight, and the rest is all chicken. So the opportunity to address the chicken industry and the cost, you know, the cost issue that it's a very affordable meat was, to me, the hardest challenge I could come up with. I had a mentor at Boeing Commercial Airplanes who once said to me, if you really want to make a difference, do the job no one else wants to do. And addressing the chicken industry, and particularly addressing price parity within the plant-based meat replacement industry, was the job no one wanted to do. And even to this day, 5+ years later, we still see even the biggest companies in the plant-based meat space pushing off price parity, as we'll get to that after everything else is fixed. At Rebellious, that's the opposite. We're doing that first.
But is that why right now the plant-based meat space in general is in turmoil? Are a lot of the problems coming from price?
Absolutely. There are actually two really major problems in the plant-based meat space, but they have been these problems all along. First of all, we've been making plant-based meat in the United States for over 100 years. So it's really only been in the last 10 or 12 years with the rise of Beyond First and then Impossible after that, where a lot of attention and venture capital money came into this space, and everybody was kind of looking for replicas of companies that could scale fast, you know, take over a really big industry, solve a major environmental problem, maybe address a very serious moral problem that people don't always want to think about, and be able to make money. That's great, except that we fundamentally have to remember you're serving everyone. Everyone in the planet is basically your customer, which means that the vast majority of those people first live below the poverty line, and a vast majority of, you know, even larger portion of that, literally 90% of people couldn't afford the products at the price they were at. And so it isn't so much that the plant-based meat industry is having major issues. It's more like the entire world, the entire economics of the world is having major issues. So whether you're selling, you know, Pop-Tarts or fruit roll-ups or plant-based meat, you're going to see an impact in the sales and the continuity of your product sales. But the difference between Pop-Tarts and, you know, fruit roll-ups, those have been very well refined as quality at scale products. Whereas plant-based meat has actually always had a problem with what's called quality at scale, or we call it quality at scale, which basically means it's really easy to make the product at the bench scale, at the kitchen scale, even at the 500 person scale. It's almost impossible to effectively make that product really, really well when you're talking about feeding 300 million people.
And why is that?
It comes down to an engineering problem, actually. Right. I'm glad you asked, because that's fundamentally the genesis of Seattle Food Tech and Rebellious Foods, was that there was a fundamental mismatch between how we make plant-based meat and what we're actually making. So right now, the vast majority of all plant-based meat made on this planet, and definitely right here in the United States, let's say even 90% of it, is made in meat processing facilities. Facilities that are currently making animal-based chicken nuggets and hamburgers and pork, ground pork, things like that. And so they attempt to use that same equipment to try to make plant-based meat too. But as you can imagine, you know, animal-based meat is basically deconstructing an animal down to a chicken nugget, where plant-based meat is almost exactly like making bread and putting all the ingredients in different avenues together, and maybe shearing them or kneading them in different ways, and then having that come together into the form or shape of a hamburger or a chicken nugget. There's a fundamental mismatch between how we make plant-based meat and the facilities that are making it. And that was the opportunity that I saw 5 years ago to basically say, well, why are we doing it this way? It's costing way more money to do it this way. And it's not scalable because when you try to, you know, use a meat processing system to make bread, it doesn't work. No more than it would work if you went into a bakery and said, deconstruct this cow into a hamburger, they would have a very hard time doing it. And so that is fundamentally the company that I started in 2018, which was to build the right equipment for making plant-based meat, to solve the quality problem and to solve the cost problem. Because if you're using the right equipment, it's not so hard and it doesn't take as many people. And you solve a whole bunch of other issues along the way, like waste streams and, you know, time for sanitation and things like that. Everything just gets cleaner and easier when you're using the right tools. And I think a lot of people can relate to that because when you're using the wrong tool, when you're trying to use a spoon to, you know, cut a piece of vegetable, it just doesn't work. It's the same kind of thing for making plant-based meat.
It's so baffling that, I mean, there's a lot of plant-based meat companies now, a ton. I'm sure people thought about this, but it was just too much of a hurdle for most people.
It's a very complex problem to start with. This was my job in the aerospace industry. I was designing and deploying automated manufacturing tools for building Boeing commercial airplanes. And so as a manufacturing engineer and a tooling engineer, I think I just had a unique perspective on what actually, you know, benefits commercially from the benefits of building tooling that makes everybody's life easier. I also feel like, you know, why didn't more people do this before? Well, the food world is very, very dependent on very low wage labor. Those are the backbone of much of the work that happens within the meat industry. Those people are often getting paid very, very little, and in some cases, very sadly, even nothing, because they're either incarcerated labor or they're being not paid their wages because they are maybe here illegally as immigrants and they're not being treated appropriately or morally. And so I think when you look at plant-based meat, a lot of people kind of take it from the top down. We need good products, good ingredients, clean labels, all of those things meet the consumer need. But what doesn't meet the consumer need is that price that comes along with those custom products. Where we saw an opportunity was to really address the worker need and the manufacturing need, and also that the very people who are working in meat processing facilities, they should be able to afford this. And so I think it's taken a lot of explaining and also just finding the right venture capital allies to join Rebellious that fundamentally made it possible for us to solve this problem from, shall we say, the ground up instead of the top down.
So your equipment, it's evolved, right? You've had different evolutions of it. Your new production system, it's called Mach 2.
That's right. The Mach 2 production system will land in roughly around November 15th of this year. So we should have price parity, literally price parity plant-based chicken on the market in early 2024.
And of all the meat, like chicken is so like stupidly cheap. So to have price parity is incredible. Talk about that a little bit.
So there's various different like qualities and types of plant-based meat. There's, you know, a lot of like lesser, I would say less branded products that are very high quality, but they don't always go into kind of as close a meat replication as maybe some of the ones you would get under like the Impossible Beyond or Rebellious names. So sometimes you can buy like things like soy curls and things like that. As a longtime vegan, I'm kind of familiar with a lot of them. But those types of products, you know, they may or may come shelf stable. They have various, you know, levels of people liking them, various levels of adoption. I think like any food, different forms of that ingredient work differently in different products. As we, you know, maybe all know that as a vegan, sometimes you use soy milk for baking, but then you use oat milk for your coffee, right? Like you don't Sure. always use the same thing. It's not like it's a perfect replacement for everything. But so the same thing is kind of true with, you know, making plant-based meat. You just kind of use it at the appropriate time.
Right now, you are in grocery stores and you are also in schools.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we have unknown counted number of districts at this point, but well into the hundreds of districts at this point that have said that they would actually replace maybe even all of their animal-based chicken products that are processed chicken products with plant-based if it was price parity. So there's every reason to know that the market does explode when you hit price parity. In fact, there was a really good research report by an independent consulting group called Kearney. You can look this up online, that it basically showed the price elasticity for plant-based meat. And it said that basically for every 1% drop in price, there was actually a 3% market gain in adoption. And that once that plant-based meat, at least in the retail sector, actually hit price parity, that it would very likely consume 20% of the meat market in the retail sector at the very least. We see that in the food service sector as well. So if you put some numbers to that, in the United States today, we produce 108 billion pounds of animal-based meat. By comparison, in the United States, we only produce about 700 million pounds of plant-based meat, or about 0.5%, so a half of a 1% by volume. 20% of that 108 billion pounds, you know, close to 23 billion pounds of plant-based meat would be saleable to this United States market alone. We're going from a half a percent to over 20%. So that's a huge opportunity. And we're talking obviously in the billions of dollars of sales for price parity. So that's why we've gone after price parity. We've hyper-focused on it for 4 years. And we also know that it's just not an overnight flip of the switch. You know, you can't just scale bad manufacturing or imperfect manufacturing and expect it to work at scale.
When people have been talking, especially in the past year, about the whole plant-based meat industry just like blowing up, and no, people can't afford it. They're going to choose the cheaper hamburgers. They're not vegan, most of the people buying this stuff. It's incredible that you seriously are truly one of the only people who is focused on price parity, you know, at least in terms of making it happen. I know everyone talks about it, but it's not happening.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I think that it is the job that no one wants to do. It's harder than what a lot of other companies have had to do. And I'm not saying that they haven't done wonderful things. They have. I am a big fan of Impossible Beyond and pretty much all of my allies in the plant-based meat space. I need them to make great products. But at Rebellious, we in the future, like we're going to use this first Mach 2 production system for ourselves, but in the future, we can help everybody make it at price parity. And I think that's the true value of what we've invented and are now deploying at Rebellious, that it's not just going to be Rebellious who benefits. We want consumers to benefit in all sectors, because the ability to make plant-based chicken for Rebellious can easily be adapted to making Impossible burgers. It can easily be adapted to making, you know, a ground pork product for someone who has some company that has a great pork product. So there's an incredible amount of value in deeply understanding the manufacturing and knowing that that cost structure is related directly to, you know, labor. And now that labor is no longer low cost, that's where you're seeing the cost of everything go up. Labor is such a huge portion of both chicken processing, but even more so for plant-based meat processing. So we see a lot of value in eventually over the next maybe just 2 years, being able to offer our technology for other people to make cost parity products at as well. So we're already talking to people about that, but it's a little bit of a rush because everybody's definitely interested.
I'm sure everybody wants in. I mean, it's going to flip the whole industry back in the right direction.
I think that the plant-based meat space has a lot of levers to pull to make a difference. You know, Rebellious is making a difference on the manufacturing floor for, you know, responding to wages increase so that we can reduce the number of people, but it also protects workers because it's really hard for people to work on the production floor. A lot of people don't want to do that work. So if you're removing the labor portion of it, you're making a really big difference, both for consumers to get a price parity product, but also for the workers that are working around the Mach 2. It's a much nicer job.
Oh my God, yes.
Job they came from.
To go back to why you started all of this in the beginning was to make it affordable. And there are so many people who can't afford this stuff. And so many communities who don't have access to anything plant-based. This is a game changer in that sense too.
That is the market that truly needs plant-based meat more than anything else, because, you know, right now we are living in a time that comes roughly 70 years from the point at which animal agriculture was industrialized. Around 1940, 1950, you really saw it pick up when people ate only a sixth of the amount of meat. Like my grandparents only ate 1/6 the amount of meat that, you know, I don't eat meat, but other people like me and my age group would eat today. But the reason that so much more meat is available and 6 times the amount of meat is available, just on average, people eat a lot more than that, is because they industrialized the processing of meat, and particularly the chicken in every pot, you know, mantra about processing chicken. Chicken is one of the most automated production systems in the world. And so our model for how to make plant-based meat available and affordable to everyone came back to understanding really what happened in the chicken industry over the last 70 years. And if you look at that, you see that they have automated nearly everything, because turning a chicken into a chicken nugget is a whole heck of a lot harder than turning a soybean into a chicken nugget. And yet the soybean right now is harder because you don't have all the industrialization and mechanization that goes into chicken processing.
Your timing couldn't be better either with all the avian flu.
Exactly. Yeah. No, this is a really serious issue, even right here in Seattle, right here in Washington State, but all over the U.S., all over the world, that the risk of getting a flock that has to be completely killed, and then the risk of that flu jumping to people, it's no longer a matter of if anymore. It's just a matter of when. There were even 3 bears in, I believe it was in North Dakota, that recently were euthanized. We now know it's quickly and easily adapting and jumping straight from chickens, straight to people, straight to bears, straight to raccoons. It is a very serious situation we have on our hands. And if we hadn't just gone through a pandemic, I'm not sure people would believe it, but it is a huge risk that so much of our food system is based on animal-based chicken, because it is now under attack by probably one of the most virulent viruses we've seen. It's globally, and it's being transmitted all over the world all the time. This is also a fantastic opportunity to show kind of the next level that we're taking Rebellious, because right now, so much of the world is dependent on chicken meat, but we can't necessarily, again, we can't just flip the switch on a chicken production facility and say, okay, now you can't do that anymore because this flu is such a risk. Where we would like to come in as Rebellious is to take that Mach 2 production system and place it in chicken processing facilities and convert them to plant-based meat facilities, thereby allowing those facilities and those workers to keep their jobs and have better jobs and be able to convert our infrastructure into a plant-based chicken infrastructure. And so we're very excited about that. In the next couple of years, we're going to be able to deploy the second and third and the fourth Mach 2, hopefully converting chicken processing facilities into plant-based meat production facilities, making them nicer places to work and offering low-cost, really high-quality plant-based chicken.
For the people who always bring up, like, well, it's not that healthy. How healthy is it?
Oh, gosh. If you're going to be eating processed chicken, you're not eating an orange. No. You should eat apples and oranges and enjoy your plant-based chicken nuggets once in a while. As long as you're replacing meat, it is better for you. Obviously, plant-based meat has no cholesterol, much lower saturated fat, especially in the case of Rebellious. It also has oftentimes, you know, equal or lesser amounts of sodium. You don't have the risk of animal proteins being detrimental to your health or your body. So there's a lot of benefits. That fat and cholesterol issue is probably one of the biggest ones. But for our school lunch customers, the number one reason they choose plant-based over animal-based chicken is, first of all, diversity inclusion, because we want to include everybody's, you know, philosophical, religious, and personal decisions not to eat and harm animals. And then second of all, antibiotic use. You know, we're talking swine flu. That's a huge problem. But antibiotic use is still very high within the chicken industry. And a lot of parents just, you know, really would prefer their chicken in public schools be a higher quality. But that's too expensive for public schools. Plant-based meat can fill that role.
I love what you're doing. It's such like a monumental moment. When you said plant-based meat's been around for 100 years, I like paused. I was like, no, really?
Yeah. Plant-based meat was first commercialized in 1899 with the invention of Protos. It was made out of peanuts and I think some sort of wheat gluten sometimes. And there's some pretty good pictures of the old Protos.
probably didn't taste as good as Rebellious.
Probably tasted like peanut butter, actually. Yeah.
It's super exciting. So thank you, Christy. Thank you for coming today. And thank you for what you're doing to the whole food industry.
Thank you. Well, I really appreciate being here. Thanks for letting us tell the story of Rebellious.
To learn more about Christy and to eat Rebellious foods, go to our website, speciesunite.com. We will have links to everything. We are on Facebook and Instagram at Species Unite. If you have a spare moment and you could do us a favor, please subscribe, rate, review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps people find the show. If you'd like to support the podcast, we'd greatly appreciate it. Go to our website, speciesunite.com. Click donate. I would like to thank everyone at Species Unite, including Gary Knutson, Caitlin Pierce, Amy Jones, Paul Healy, Santina Polke, Ayana Peoples, and Anna Kollner, who wrote and performed today's music. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.